Revelation chapter 4, page 1236 in the church Bibles. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
This is a book or letter where God, through his Son, Jesus, reveals to the Apostle John the things that are soon to take place. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. That is, the things that we can expect, or the church can expect, to see happening throughout the last days. That is the time from Jesus' first coming all the way through to his second coming. Now, if we look at chapter 5, we're not dealing with chapter 5 tonight, but if we look at this chapter, we will see that it talks about seals being opened by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the only one that is worthy of opening the seals. What are these seals all about? Well, they are the story of all that the church can expect to see in the last days. And what will happen in the last days? Well, we're going to have to wait and see, aren't we, as we proceed through the book of Revelation. But hopefully it will suffice to say this evening that there will be trials and difficulties of one kind or another that God's people will have to face. Wars, famines, persecutions, and so on. And of course, this concurs with the rest of the New Testament's teaching. For example, Paul and Barnabas said to the believers, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." The question is, what will sustain believers throughout the difficulties of the last days? And the answer is surely this: the knowledge that God is seated upon the throne of the universe and is in control of all things. And that, of course, is exactly what we find here in Revelation chapter 4. It's beautifully situated in the book of Revelation. Before we read about all the scary things, we're reminded that God is seated upon his throne. That said, let's take a little look at chapter 4. I won't be too long this evening because we have a time around the Lord's table. As with Stephen and Ezekiel before him, the Apostle John is given a vision of heaven. He's able to see things that we this evening are unable to see. And what John sees is God's throne and all that surrounds his throne. And what he sees he can barely describe, but he does try. And of course what he says, he does so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what does he see? Let's note a few things. Firstly, from verse 3, the one seated on the throne had the appearance of jasper and ruby. John describes the appearance of God. And again, bear in mind that this is a vision. And all he can do is describe the appearance of God because, of course, God is indescribable. God's appearance is described with the use of two precious jewels, jasper and ruby. And I would suggest to you that these two jewels speak of the purity, glory, and infinite worth of Almighty God. Again, in verse 3, we read a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. When you read here of a rainbow, what do you immediately think of? You think of the story of Noah, don't you? Where God put his bow or his rainbow in the sky after Noah and his family had come out of the ark. It was God's promise to the world that he would never flood the whole earth again. And I would suggest to you this evening that this rainbow probably speaks of God's amazing grace and his faithfulness to his promises or to his word. Then in verse 5, we read these words, "From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder." No doubt all of this reminds us of the time when God descended upon Mount Sinai, when the Israelites were gathered at the foot of the mountain. What a scary experience it was for the Israelites. They dare not set foot on the mountain. They knew that they would die if they were to try. And they didn't even want to listen to God's voice. It was too much for them. And all of this surely speaks to us of the awesome power and holiness of God. Then in verse 5, we read, "In front of the throne were seven lamps blazing." Now it is important for us to bear in mind as we read this chapter that what John sees is the heavenly temple, of which the earthly tabernacle and temple were but copies. Remember, in the earthly tabernacle and later in the earthly temple, there was a lampstand with branches. Well, here we have in front of the throne seven lamps blazing. And these seven lamps, I would argue, represent the perfect Holy Spirit who gives light to his people, to his church, through his word. Then in verse 6 we read, "Also in front of the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal." And I think this is probably supposed to remind us of the brass vessel situated in the temple and later, in the tabernacle and later in the temple, in which the priests used to wash themselves before they went and served before the Lord. And if I'm correct in saying this, perhaps, I'm not entirely sure, it speaks of God's ability to wash and cleanse the sinner in order that he or she might be able to approach Him. After all, He is thrice holy. He is a consuming fire. And then in verse 4 we read, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Who are these elders? I think they represent the entire people of God. In the Old Testament, God's people, God's ancient people, are represented by 12 patriarchs, Israel's or Jacob's sons. And in the New Testament, the people of God, or the church, is represented by 12 apostles. And I don't need to tell you this evening that 12 plus 12 equals 24. I would argue that the 12 elders represent the entire people of God. And I suspect that if John was to look really, really carefully, he would see himself amongst this great multitude. And then in verse 6b and following, we read, though I'm not going to read all of it, in the center around the throne were four living creatures. And how interestingly they are described. These are the cherubim that guard the throne of God and are ready to go and serve God in any direction at a moment's notice. They are basically a high order of angels, and we should not be surprised to read about them here, because cherubim guarded the Ark of God in the most holy place, which of course was part of the tabernacle and later the temple. It seems a pretty obvious thing to say, but these created beings, along with everything else, enhance the throne of God. And we should probably note that these awesome created beings worship God in awe and reverence. They do so, as we see, day and night. Never do they stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This often makes me stop and think. Here are these incredible angelic beings, and they worship God in awe and wonder. Well, if they do it, how much more ought we endeavor to do it? What we read in this chapter may remind us of some words that we read in Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verses 1 to 3. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Did you notice the first three words of this psalm? The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. We live in days of earthquake and tsunamis and threats of war and economic collapse and persecution and trials of one kind or another. But in the midst of it all, we can rest assured that the Lord reigns. that he is one who is seated upon the throne in heaven and is in control of all things. We don't always understand why certain things are happening, particularly in our own lives, but we can take comfort and encouragement by this glorious thought that our God, who loves us and cares for us, and he's working out his good purposes in our lives, reigns. You know, it may be that as we read on into the book of Revelation, that we find ourselves feeling a bit scared about some of the things that are spoken about. Well, if that happens, what are we to do? I think what we're to do is this. We're to go back and remind ourselves of what we've read and thought about in Revelation chapter 4. Whatever happens, our God is on the throne. This, I believe, is the great comfort for God's people in Revelation and chapter 4. Next week, God willing, we will think about these seals that the one who was worthy, the Lord Jesus, opened, in order to reveal something of his history to John and the church throughout the ages. Well, we're going to sing again, and you'll probably notice that all the songs this evening are based on Revelation chapter 4. There's been plenty of choice for me in terms of singing songs based on some of these early chapters in Revelation. So let's sing a song or a hymn based on this particular chapter. 159, Holy, Holy, Holy.